on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Don't think.
Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, December the 9th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfeld alongside Manny the Crows, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. I always like to refer to weeks like this as the calm before the storm a little bit. If you know me, you know, weeks where you're kind of building up to something that's it's a little bit different. But, of course, a week from Friday night, out in Norman, Oklahoma, Alabama will play the Oklahoma Sooners in a college football playoff game at 7 o'clock. And, of course, I was hoping for an afternoon kick, to be quite honest with you. But it is what it is, and it's going to be a nighttime kick. We said yesterday the forecast for the extended forecast someone sent me didn't look too bad. Now I'm seeing where some people are talking about snow, so who knows? It's still, you know, 10 days away. Also on Saturday, you've got Alabama men's basketball playing Arizona in a huge game over at the Legacy Arena in Birmingham. So kind of building up to that this weekend. Arizona's ranked number one and Alabama number 12. And then a week from Friday night, you've got Alabama taking on Oklahoma in the college football playoffs. So we're going to discuss both of those games. Love to get you involved in the program. We've been having a heavy dose of callers lately at 205-342-9904. So we'd love to get you involved again this morning. As for Alabama football, again, because it is a week until game week, there's not, you know, going to be that much buzz this week as the team will be preparing. Of course, the big concern is the health of the team. Really banged up, a lot of injuries late in the year without a lot of key guys in the SEC championship game against Georgia. So you're hopeful that they'll be healthier, and you would think that they would be. Now, the teams that didn't have to play this past Saturday have an advantage. I mean, I don't think there's any about it, doubt about that in terms of getting prepared and in terms of getting their roster set with getting guys healthy that were nicked up. But Alabama had to play, and then Alabama doesn't have a bye. So it's the worst-case scenario when you play a conference championship game and then you play in the college football playoff. Think about this. If you played and won like Georgia did, then you get an extra week, okay? If you didn't play and you're in the football playoff, you get an extra week. But if you played and you lost and you don't have a bye, you know, you're turning around and you're playing, you know, again. And I think Alabama's the only team that falls into that category because Ohio State lost, but they've got a bye. BYU played and lost, but they're not in the playoff. Let's see. ACC, neither one of those teams made it into the playoff, Duke or Virginia. So Miami's in the playoff, but they didn't play. So Alabama is the only team that will go into the playoff with just 2 weeks of rest, or really less than 2 weeks, because it's 13 days from that Saturday until the Friday night when Alabama plays on the 19th. So is it a disadvantage? Only from the standpoint of, I guess, you know, that extra week of rest would be welcomed. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But it is what it is, and Alabama's, you know, glad to be in, and they'll play under the circumstances that are what they are. So that's the situation. But again, if you look at a team like Miami, which gets into the playoff and doesn't play in a conference championship game, or all the teams that played in the conference championship games that advanced, and that's Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech, they all get the extra week because they have the bye. So Alabama is in the position of being the only team in the playoff with less than 2 weeks rest between their final game and the playoff game. But it is what it is. And, you know, you got to deal with it. But I just hope this is a healthier football team come next Friday night. Other couple of quick news and notes Monday Night Football last night. The Eagles lost their third in a row. They are reeling in overtime to the Chargers, 22-19. Chargers opened with a field goal. The Eagles drove down, had a first and 10, I think inside the 20. And Jalen Hurts tried to squeeze a ball in to a window. It got tipped and then intercepted. It was the worst game of Jalen Hurts' career. I think I feel confident in saying that. He had 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions, and he had a rare play in which he had 2 turnovers on the same play. It may have happened. I don't remember. He threw an interception. Then the Chargers fumbled it. He recovered the fumble, and then he fumbled it back to the Chargers. So that's 2 turnovers on the same play. It's a 5 turnover game for Jalen. How much of it? Well, first of all, he played terrible, so there's no way around that. But how much is it on the new offensive coordinator, the fact that they are struggling? Now, they did run the ball better last night, but for the Chargers, it was a huge win. A huge win at home. Justin Herbert playing with a broken bone in his hand. Now, it's his left hand, obviously. If it was his right hand, he probably wouldn't be playing. It's non-throwing hand. But for the Eagles, they're still in first place in the NFC East, but that's about all they can hang their hat on because they are struggling. And their offense is a mess. So we'll see what they can get doing. All right, here's the lineup for today. It's the Rocket Man, Rudy Armin, at 9:30. And then the Hall of Famer, legendary Shelton State women's basketball coach, Madonna Thompson, at 10:30. Shelton's got a huge tournament coming up this weekend. We're going to tell you all about it. Some of the best junior college basketball teams in the country will be there. She's coming up at 10:30. Before we go any further, let me tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions still apply. See if you're eligible for membership and join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. We'll be right back. Phone calls are welcome. 205-342-9904. We'll be back after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Interstate 22 has brought businesses and tax revenue to Walker County. Now the East-West Interstate has attracted even more business. A new Love's Truck Stop is now under construction at Exit 78. Walker County Commission Chair Steve Miller says it's a major boost for the area job market and convenience for travelers. Miller says more growth is expected. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
Saturday, December 27th, Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center. Tickets on sale now at pearlriverresort.com.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Stuffer for just $40. There's no limit on the value you can add. De-stress your shopping. Visit Blogo on Jack Warner Parkway or at Blogo Salon Medspa.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with a low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days. The high Thursday, 53. The high Friday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:23. Welcome back to the Gary Harris Show. I want to correct something that I said earlier. I was talking about Alabama being the only team to have less than 2 weeks rest. That's not correct. I was thinking about the major conference teams. Of course, obviously, Tulane, James Madison, they played in conference championship games and are also playing in the playoffs. So they will be in the same boat as Alabama. But among the Power Fours, Alabama is the only team that will go into the playoffs with less than 2 weeks of rest. Hey, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is a very interesting story. The Colts, who started out so well, and we mentioned the Eagles reeling, so is Indianapolis, and now Daniel Jones is out for the season with an Achilles. Their quarterback room is just depleted. And last night, 44-year-old Philip Rivers, who is currently the head football coach at St. Michael Catholic in Fairhope, worked out for the Colts last night. Now, he spent his final NFL season with the Colts in 2020 after playing 15 years in the San Diego with the San Diego and Los Angeles Chargers. He spent 1 year with the Colts, then retired. He's 44 years old, last played, as I said, in 2020, head coach of St. Michael Catholic High School in Fairhope, Alabama, originally from Athens, Alabama, played college football at North Carolina State, and he worked out last night for the Colts. That's how depleted their quarterback room is. Now, will they sign him? I don't know. That would be something else to see a guy who's 44 years old who has not played football in 5 years come back and play in the NFL. But you know what? He's probably a unique individual and from the standpoint of he's kept himself in shape, coaching high school football. He's continued to work out. He's continued to throw. And he has continued to obviously coach the game. So it's a situation where maybe they'll sign the guy. It would be a heck of a story, particularly if he's got signed and came in and played. So we'll see what happens there. That's pretty unique situation. But, hey, when you're like the Colts at this point with and the Colts have another Alabama native on their team, Riley Leonard, who is from the Mobile area as well, and started his career at Duke, transferred to Notre Dame, and is a rookie for the Colts, but he's hurt. He's dealing with a knee, and that's kind of a unique situation there as well. And oddly enough, Rivers coaches at St. Michael Catholic in Fairhope, and Riley Leonard played at Fairhope High School. Wouldn't that be ironic if they're both teammates? One is 44 years old, and the other's 23 years old, and they could be teammates with the Colts. We'll keep you up to date on that, though. That's interesting. One other note on Alabama this week, as far as practice is concerned, you know, this will be a heavy practice week for Alabama. A lot of install as far as preparation for Oklahoma. And this is a game where Alabama is playing an opponent for the second time this season. And another unique aspect is that I don't know that Alabama has ever played two teams twice in the same season. I have not researched it. Maybe some of you out there have, and if you know the answer, you can let me know. But to play two teams twice, I mean, obviously they've played teams twice. Georgia and Georgia this year. Played them Georgia twice in 2021 season in the SEC championship game and turned around and played them again in the national championship game. But they played Georgia twice, and now this will be the second time they played Oklahoma. I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think Alabama's ever played two opponents twice in the same season. So that's unique as well, very unique. Speaking of Alabama versus Oklahoma, we'll talk more about it. Talk Bama hoops as well, recruiting, number of different topics with the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. He'll join us next on the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTVC, your home for Alabama sports.
Outdoor living. living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Touchdown brings me round again to fight. I'm not the man they think I am at home. No.
All right, 9:32. Welcome back to the Gary Harris Show. And it is time for the Rocket Man, Drew Darman, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. He co-hosts Talking Ball weekday mornings with Scott Tyson, joins us every Tuesday here on the Gary Harris Show. How's it going, Drew?
I'm doing well, Gary. Got my car back. Got no more Lane Kiffin.
You might as well go ahead and explain now what you mean with an unwelcome visitor got under your hood into your engine area.
Yeah, I think we've now established it was a possum, Gary. It was too big for a rat. But, I had a possum running around my property, which is I live at Maxwell Place Condos in Huntsville. And I'd seen one running around late at night a few times. And somehow, I guess, it ended up underneath my vehicle trying to keep warm in this cold winter. And somehow it got up in the engine manifold and it dislodged a belt, which, of course, made my car go haywire and my battery go dead. But it was pretty crazy. But, I started having issues last Thursday, and then it came to a head on Saturday. Had to get it towed on Monday, yesterday, and finally got it fixed today. But the possum is now gone, and I have my vehicle back. So Lane Kiffin had to leave.
All right. Well, I'm glad.
Well, Gary's seen the video, so he's seen the proof. Everybody.
Yeah, I saw it. It was like you said. Everybody's trying to stay warm, or every living thing on the planet's trying to stay warm. And unfortunately, your engine was the home for that possum. Let's get to some would say that Alabama played possum on Saturday night. The Crimson Tide didn't show
segue,
up.
That's a good segue, Gary.
It is. Your thoughts on Georgia 28, Alabama 7?
Well, I mean, it was just a day of frustration. It was kind of bookends. They played that way against Florida State, except this time they played against an elite opponent in Georgia, who was beat up as well. But Georgia did a great job of making some adjustments. Football is a copycat sport. They did a really good job this time on third down of pressuring Ty Simpson, not letting him get comfortable. Of course, they shut the run down. Alabama was extremely one-dimensional, and then they weren't sharp in the passing game. Once again, Ty was off. I mean, he's been off for about a month. He's banged up. And then the receivers, they didn't help him out a lot. I thought the highlight was actually the two young freshman tight ends that were pressed into service because of the absence of Josh Cuevas. And let's not misunderstand something. This is not an excuse, because Alabama likely loses anyway if both teams are 100%, because Alabama was very fortunate to win the first go-round, and this was no fluke. But it really hampered Alabama to be without, five, six, seven starters, if you want to say, when you talk about on offense and defense in this game. And some of those guys I'm calling starters are guys that have started, like a Kevin Riley, who had a great game against Eastern Illinois but broke his jaw. And then you don't have Josh Cuevas. Parker Brelsford's playing on one leg. That's almost like an absence. You don't have your entire football team. And so that was extremely difficult for Alabama. I think there's no question. You end up, as the week goes on, you end up not having LT Overton, who made arguably the best defensive play in the win in Athens on that fourth down. You don't have Kelby Collins. So there was DeJuan Lee was very limited, even though he played, I think, 22 snaps. They just didn't. They didn't have enough, Gary. They against a team as good as Georgia, who is the standard program right now in the SEC. it's very, very difficult to beat them. You're going to have to play an almost perfect game. And unfortunately for Alabama, for most of the season, their special teams have been nowhere close to special. Once again, the block punt kind of got Georgia going. I mean, I have it. Alabama, their return numbers this year have been abysmal. They've done nothing with kickoff or punt return. The punting has been okay, but it wasn't great on Saturday either. They just did nothing to help themselves in special teams. And then offensively, they were unbelievable on third down against Georgia and Athens, and they ran the ball well enough. Well, this time they got nothing out of the running game. They were 3 of 14 on third down. That's just a death sentence against Georgia. And to Georgia's credit, now when you go back and look at it, after that first half where Alabama was pretty dominant, Georgia's outscored the Crimson Tide, they've completely outplayed them. They've held Alabama to 7 points in the last six quarters. And they've really put a beat down on Alabama. They won 28-7, as I was about to say, on Saturday. And then they won that second half because Alabama, had built a three-score lead over Georgia. We know what they did. They came back out. It was 21-10 at half, and they really started, making a run at Alabama, and they did. And they were in Alabama was very fortunate with a drop touchdown pass to win that game, and then they were still able to dominate time of possession. Georgia flipped that this time. They dominated the time of possession. And Alabama only had one turnover, but it was a big one. And then they had a turnover on down. So Alabama in the key areas, the running the football, the plus minus, and then time of possession, they got dominated this time. And so you got to give Georgia all the credit in the world for the way they came back and the way they fought. I give them a lot of credit, man. I mean, they were down, 21-7, I think, I guess, was the halftime score the first time around. I think I said 10, but it was 24-7, I think, pardon me, because the final score was 24-21. And Alabama, wasn't able to do much at all and has just been shut down by Georgia for now six straight quarters. And I give Kirby and those guys a lot of credit. I criticized him when he first came to Georgia. I didn't like the way he handled himself. But he's built a machine of a program over there, and they stepped up. They had a lot of guys step up and play well, and Alabama got dominated. And, Alabama got a mulligan because they got in the playoff. And, by the way, I think they deserve to be in the playoff. But, again, the biggest thing with them, I was asked yesterday, what's the biggest key to beating Oklahoma in the rematch? And that's the injury report, Gary, because they've got to get some guys healthy because they're just way too shorthanded right now. And they were way too shorthanded to beat a team of the quality of Georgia that I felt like after they lost to Alabama, they had tough games, but they were able to make adjustments in all of them. And I felt like Georgia continued to get better while Alabama continued to struggle because of injuries. And just because I think, honestly, people don't want to hear this, but that roster is not as talented as previous Alabama rosters have been.
You covered a lot there, and you said it. Alabama just did not have enough against Georgia. You mentioned the Oklahoma rematch. Alabama gets into the playoff. They're going to travel to Norman to play a team that beat them earlier in Tuscaloosa in a game that was very frustrating because that was probably the last game. I don't count Eastern Illinois, but that was probably the last game where Alabama offensively moved the football well in that game. Three turnovers did them in, an interception by Ty, a fumble by Ty, and a fumble punt return by Ryan Williams. One of those interceptions or one of those turnovers was a pick six. And now, though, as you said, you kind of clean the slate, trying to get some guys well this week, and you go out there a week from Friday night to play Oklahoma and Norman. What are the keys to getting a win against the Sooners? And, we've talked so much about Alabama against Georgia and Alabama having had Georgia's number. Well, Oklahoma has had Alabama's number, even going back to the early 2000s, the only time Alabama beat them in the last five meetings was in the semifinal in 2018 down in Miami. So Alabama's got to kind of flip the script the way Georgia was able to flip it against the Tide. And what do they need to do to have success in Norman a week from Friday night?
Well, I think first and foremost, Gary, they've got to find a way to generate some balance and run the football. And they actually did a decent job of running the football the first time in Tuscaloosa. You know, Daniel Hill had 15 carries, 60 yards. They scored a couple of rushing touchdowns. It was nothing out of the ordinary, but they did run it decently well. They're going to have to find a way to run the football a little bit, and then they're going to have to, once again, win the time of possession. They've got to possess the football, keep it away from John Mathier and those guys, and you just said it. That was the one game this year Alabama turned it over multiple times. They lost the turnover battle 3-0, and that played a huge role in losing the game. And so Alabama's got to win the plus-minus, and then I'll give a fourth that they've got to do. They have got to be better in special teams, because I thought Oklahoma was much better in special teams against Alabama. You remember what happened, Gary. They block a field goal, and it ended up being a huge one. They block a field goal at the end of the half, a 36-yard field goal attempt, I believe it was, from John Talty. That denied Alabama points. And don't forget, a huge part of that game, too, Alabama, it was actually a good punt by Blake Dowd. He pinned the guy against the sidelines, but Alabama missed a couple of tackles and allowed a 42-yard punt return, which led to a score. You can't allow an explosive return if you're Alabama against Oklahoma, you know, because Isaiah Satania, he's a good return guy. You've got to play well against them, and then you have to limit their rushing yards. And I thought they did that in the game against Oklahoma. They actually did a great job. They held OU's offense to 200 yards. But the one thing they didn't do, and this will be, you know, the fifth big key to the game, besides, as I said, the time of possession, the turnovers, running the football themselves, and then, you know, and then at least playing special teams even. Don't give them an advantage. But the fifth thing to me, you know, that they've got to do, they've got to take the ball away from Oklahoma, because as you remember, another swing play in the game, and it was in the first half. Alabama got behind 10-0. They cut it to 10-7, and then Justin Jefferson dropped what would have been a pick six, and that would have put Alabama in front 14-10. And then they also had a tip pass that was nearly a pick six by Yann St. Pierre in the second half. John Mathier didn't turn it over in that game. Now he's had a propensity to turn it over, Gary. So Alabama's got to, you know, force some turnovers, win that, you know, the plus minus. But then they have to, when you do that, and then they have to create the turnovers, they have to take advantage of that, because then you create field position for your offense and give them short fields to score. And that's why Oklahoma beat Alabama. And one of them just happened to also be a pick six. So Alabama has got to find a way to win the turnover battle, but generate turnovers that lead to points for them offensively, and I think they can win in Norman. It's not going to be easy. That defense is outstanding for Oklahoma. But if you're Alabama, you know, you certainly have a bad taste in your mouth with how you played against, you know, Georgia. You need to be supremely motivated to get this opportunity to go on the road at a team you feel like that got the best of you, that you're better than, and as you put it, has had your number. Kalen DeBoer came into the matchup last Saturday 2-0 against Kirby. He left 2-1. Well, Kalen DeBoer needs to leave 1-2, because he's 0-2 against Brent Venables right now at OU.
Drew, when you look at offensively for Alabama, as you said, extremely banged up. They didn't have Jam Miller. Ty Simpson's dealing with stuff.
Yep.
And Quavis is out. And you start looking at their inability to stretch the field and throw the ball down the field and really make explosive plays in the run game or the pass game. I want to ask you about Ryan Williams, because there's been a lot of, you know, chatter about, you know, all the stuff that he has going on off the field with NIL and appearances and you know, some rumblings that he doesn't put the work in. But I know this, he is a playmaker. We saw it in the SEC championship game. What happened down at Auburn, I have no idea when he wasn't targeted. But it's clear that if you're going to beat Oklahoma, you're going to have some explosive plays in the game. And he is an explosive playmaker. Can you put your finger on why he hasn't been more involved in the offense? Now, that changed a little bit in the SEC championship game. And do you believe they need him to make some plays to have an opportunity to win this game a week from Friday night?
Well, then there's no question they need him, Gary. You know, he's the most explosive player on the offense. Jeremy Bernard is a dog. He's a guy that makes plays, and he can make some explosive plays. But the guy with the most quick twitch athleticism and speed and capability of blowing the top off is Ryan Williams. and he needs to do that. I've said this also. I think, you know, another key for Alabama in this game, Oklahoma made an explosive play with the pick six. And then, you know, they did, use a short field, and their best run of the night was, you could call it an explosive run. It was a 20-yard quarterback draw, basically, from John Mateer for a touchdown. They need a couple of 40 or 50-yard plays in this game against OU, against that defense that likes to pressure you and take chances. And the best guy to do that is Ryan Williams. He has the speed, the quickness, the athleticism. It's just consistency, Gary. I think that's what's hurt him. You've got to do the little things right. You've got to be able to run routes, and you've got to be there for your QB. You've got to create separation with your speed, but also know how to gain leverage. In other words, study the guys before you, the Julio Joneses, the Devontae Smiths, how they ran routes and got separation. Because I think Ryan hasn't done enough of that. And then you got to be a good situational football player. If they're going to you on a key fourth down, Gary, you've got to make sure you're past the sticks when you run the route. And then the biggest and most important thing, and we saw it rear its ugly head again on Saturday night, and Saturday afternoon, you have to catch the football. There has been way too many drops by Ryan Williams. He's got, I think, 630 receiving yards. I venture to say there's over 200 yards receiving that he's dropped. In other words, he had 800-plus yards last year, and he didn't have near as many drops. I think he should have over 800 yards this year, but he's just dropped balls and not made plays. And I know sometimes Coach DeVore's mentioned it, that sometimes that he hadn't caught balls because, you know, they have to get to that progression on the route tree. But some of it's probably some confidence issues. I mean, you've got to be confident in the young guy to catch the football. And that's what I talk about putting the work in. I know Ryan's mentioned about getting on the jugs gun. He needs to be on it all the time and be turning his hands over. Catch the ball with your hands. That's why he dropped the ball on Saturday. You got to stop body catching, man. I saw him, I guess it was Tennessee. I think he had his best game where he made five or six catches for 87 yards. And I thought he caught every ball with his hands in that game. And I just think that's the Ryan Williams that they're going to need on Saturday, or excuse me, a week from Friday in Norman, Oklahoma. He's got to make plays when he gets a chance to make them, because, you know, against this defense, they're not going to give you a lot of opportunities, but when they do, you've got to make the plays. And I just think overall, Ryan Williams is going to be a huge part of this, because he is the one guy that should be healthy, should be good to go, and he can make those plays that can make the difference in the game and blow the top off the defense.
All right, Drew, interesting topic here in regards to what Alabama's playing for. Obviously, to advance to the quarterfinals against Indiana at the Rose Bowl. But at the same time, Alabama's a very polarizing brand right now because of the beatdown that Saban put on so many teams for so many years. And, of course, I'll be going all the way back to Coach Bryant, Dixie's football pride. Alabama has been the southern staple of college football, and now I would argue that they've surpassed Notre Dame on the national stage. I mean, Alabama, the Yankees, the Cowboys, the Dodgers, the Celtics, that type of brand. And because of that, them getting in and Notre Dame not getting in has been a very polarizing topic. A lot of national pundits act like they're offended by Alabama being in. So you know where I'm going with this. Alabama's playing for Alabama, but if the Tide loses that game, you're going to have to listen to it. You're going to have to listen to a lot of mess. So I know the football players aren't concerning themselves with that, but I know the fans are concerned. This is a big game for Alabama, but it's also a big game just in terms of perception and reputation, I think, Drew.
Well, the Iron Bowl was a big game for Kellen DeBoer and staff, too. They came through in that one. And so, you know, I understand that a lot of these national media people, they're so desperate for Notre Dame to be relevant again and to win a national championship because, Gary, it's very hard when you have to concern. I said this on my show this morning. When you have to, when you're the reason that VCRs still exist because you have to save them so you can watch parades that happened back before they had DVDs, or maybe you converted them to DVD, and now even those are going by the wayside. Now they have to be converted to something you can stream, okay? But I can't help it that Notre Dame has not been relevant. Now, they made a playoff run last year deep, but they lost. That's all that matters. They made one in 2012. Alabama had a good time scrimmaging when Alabama's varsity beat Notre Dame's JV like a yard dog. It was fun. I certainly enjoyed it. It was probably my most enjoyable Saban win in his whole career was watching him beat down those guys because of all the times Coach Bryant had tough luck against Notre Dame. So, and then, you know, they played in the 2020 semifinals. It was another good scrimmage against Brian Kelly's Irish. But like I said, they're a good team. I felt like they should have been in, but they may. The only time I'll agree with Tim Brando is I don't know why they didn't change the bylaw where that you take the top five conference champions once the Pac-12 went away. It should have been four, and James Madison shouldn't be in this thing. They should get one representative. That's Tulane.
Right.
They should have been the 12 seed. I would have had Notre Dame 11 because Notre Dame's, you know, in my opinion, their resume wasn't nearly as good as Alabama's. And, of course, Miami beat them head-to-head. But you're not in it. And then to take your ball and go home and not even play in a bowl, I thought was Bush League. And it's typical Notre Dame. And then they want to bite the hand that's been feeding them because nobody in the national media wants to really talk about what Notre Dame is. And that's a member of the ACC, which is the Bush League. The ACC is a joke. They played an ACC schedule. Gary, I mean, they didn't beat anybody of consequence except for USC, who didn't get in either. Okay, so when I'm having to listen to some Notre Dame shill try to say that Navy is better than Missouri, I'm just glad that, you know, that lobotomies exist.
All right, real quickly, Drew, and try to keep it to a minute because I got to get out. But basketball for Alabama has been banged up all season too. But I think for the most part, they're going to have their roster available. Huge game Saturday against number one Arizona over in Birmingham.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be there, man. I'm looking into that, trying to make sure I'm credentialed. But yeah, Jaden Bradley coming back, playing against his old squad. Noah Pete, what a freshman year he's having. They've got a great squad. Tommy Lloyd's done a great job since he left Mark Few at Gonzaga. Should be an electric crowd. You should have Aiden Holloway back. We saw what Jabril Bethea did in the last game. Reitzel was a little rusty. Hopefully he'll be better. They need a little bit more out of Houston Millett. And then, you know, well, Baron Filon has just quite frankly been one of the best players in college basketball. And so it's going to be a great atmosphere. And if you get Taylor Bowen back as well, the way Aiden Sherrill has been improving, I'm really looking forward to seeing Alabama take on this Arizona team who's been really, really good up to this point.
Drew, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
Great segment with Drew DeArmond. 9:53, we'll take a timeout. Come back and wrap up this first hour of the show right after this timeout.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily...
Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with a low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days. The high Thursday, 53. The high Friday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 39 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Ring-a-ling, 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 ring-a-ling,
7 to wrap up this first hour. A couple of hat messages. Bama Jim wrote in 1999, Alabama played Florida in the regular season, played Florida again in the championship game. Bama won both games. Mike Bose was going to be fired, so forth and so on. I remember it very, very well. What I was saying, Jim, is this is the first time I think that Alabama's played two teams twice. I knew they played Alabama, beat Florida twice, as you said, in the Swamp, 40-34 in overtime, and then blew them out in the SEC championship game, went on and lost, as Jim points out, lost to Michigan in overtime when they missed an extra point against Tom Brady and the Wolverines. But I can't recall that they've ever played two teams twice in a season. That will happen this year. Played Georgia twice, and now we'll play Oklahoma twice. Also, Pop from down on the net texted in, bowl games will eventually be gone. Would this work? Have an NIT in football for teams that don't make the NCAA playoffs, use the bowl games for that format? You know, it's not a bad idea, Pop. It's something I guess they're going to have to look at to keep the bowl games. And they may have to eventually look at giving the group of five teams their own championship and get the power fours. And I don't know if this is going to continue to work. Something's going to have to be tweaked. I think we all agree on that. All right, that's going to do it for the first hour of the show. It's brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two, we've got plenty of time for phone calls. Also, we will have Madonna Thompson, Hall of Fame coach of Sultan State, coming up at 10:30. So keep it dialed in to Tide 100.9 FM, 12:30 AM WCBC. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
The Heisman Trophy finalists were announced on Monday. The four contestants looking to see who takes home the trophy on Saturday: Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza, Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, and Ohio State quarterback Julian Sayin. Eagles fell to 8-5 on a loss on Monday Night Football, 22-19 in overtime. Chargers improved to 9-4. Four interceptions thrown by Jalen Hurts in this game, the final one coming to defender Tony Jefferson to seal the game away. Cameron Dicker with a 54-yard field goal in this game. Omarion Hampton back from the IR with a touchdown for the Chargers. Tuesday, we'll see a retired legend try to...
It's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, hour number two here on Tide 100.9 FM at 12:30 AM WCBC, your home for University of Alabama sports. I'm Gary Harris. Chase Brumfell, managing controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Coming up at 10:30, Hall of Fame coach Madonna Thompson from Shelton State women's basketball. They're hosting a big tournament this coming weekend down at the Humphrey Center. We will discuss that. And Nate Oates and Alabama basketball facing a huge challenge on Saturday in Birmingham at Legacy Arena against number one Arizona. It's a game that, quite frankly, if Alabama can win, will certainly propel them into the top 10 of the Associated Press and coaches rankings for the next week. And I think Alabama is certainly capable of winning that game. Won't be easy, but I think they're capable of winning it for sure. Getting back to last night, Monday Night Football with the Eagles and the Chargers and what we're seeing from the NFL this year and how I have compared it now to college football with the level of competitiveness and parity every week. You look at the Eagles, they won the Super Bowl last year. They're still in first place in the NFC East, but they're reeling. They've lost three in a row. They're 8-5. They lost last night in Los Angeles with the Chargers in overtime in a game that, as bad as they played,
They were down 22-19 and had a first and 10 inside the 20-yard line. Jalen Hurts, I didn't think it was a terrible throw. He had some terrible throws. I didn't think this was one of them. He tried to squeeze it into a window, and a defender reached out and tipped it, and then the other defender behind him made a great interception to end the game. But he had a couple of interceptions that were just brutal. And then he had the rare feat of turning it over twice on one play. When he threw an interception, the defensive player for the Chargers, a lineman, fumbled it. He recovered the fumble. Then he fumbled it back to the Chargers, giving them even better field position. So five turnovers in a game isn't going to get it. And the Eagles are right now struggling. They won the Super Bowl last year. The Chiefs played in the Super Bowl last year. The Chiefs have won nine straight AFC West Division titles. They won't win it this year. In fact, they're more than likely, unless something changes, not even going to make the playoffs. All right, the Ravens, they're under 500. Another team with Super Bowl aspirations. The Bills are not in first place in the AFC East. That's a shocker. And then you see a team like the Patriots in first. The Carolina Panthers are in first place now in the NFC South. So you see in the NFL that every Sunday, the so-called worst team can beat the best team. We've seen that this year. The Saints aren't good, but they beat the Panthers in Carolina. They beat the Bucs in Tampa. You know, the Colts started out just playing great. Now they're reeling. The Bears went from the number one seed in the NFC to the seventh seed with one loss on Sunday at Green Bay against the Packers. So the Steelers fans went from wanting to fire Mike Tomlin to being in first place by going into Baltimore and beating the Ravens. It is absolutely crazy. But that's what they're designed for in the NFL. They're designed for parity. They're not really designed for dynasties. The rules are. Now in college football, we're starting to see that. You know, Alabama had a dynasty under Nick Saban. Won six national championships from in between 2009 and 2020. So won six national championships in 11 years. Could have been more, quite frankly. Don't think you're going to see that again. You know, Ohio State's had a great year. Statistically, they've been dominant. They won the national championship last year. May win it again this year. But they couldn't even win their conference championship. They lost to Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. So college football is starting to look a lot like the NFL. That you've got really good teams, but you can fall off the mountain in a hurry. You can fall off of it in a hurry. And that's kind of where we're at now with the competitive nature of sports. And, you know, we're saying we don't want college football to be the NFL because of all the stuff that we're talking about with NIL and the portal and all that, but also it's becoming more like the NFL, like I said, just in terms of the competitive nature of it, that it's hard to be a dominant team anymore. And plus, you know, now we're concerned about the playoff and you know, having teams lose players that opt out even for playoff games. And the bowl game situation right now is just a mess. Let's just be honest. It's a mess. We've got some bowl games now that are just begging teams to fill the spots. You know what I mean? Just begging people to. So that's why I'm so happy that the bowl game in Montgomery is going to have Troy versus Jack State. Long-time rivalry in the old Gulf South Conference to get these two teams on the field against each other in Montgomery. Both fan bases will be well represented. That's going to be a fun game. But most of these bowls, a lot of these bowls, they just have, other than, I guess, the two teams that are playing, there's no interest. And we've had so many teams, 5-7 teams, that had an opportunity to go to bowl games because there aren't enough teams with winning records to fill the spot, and now they're turning them down. So, you know, it is what it is. But it's the system that we have. We adjust. But Nick Saban absolutely predicted all this. And people didn't want to hear it, but that was the danger of an expanded playoffs is you devalue the bowl games. And we're seeing that. We're absolutely seeing it. And, you know, Pop from Lynette had the app message about maybe creating a NIT-style tournament for the teams that don't go to the college football playoff. That's a possibility. I think, again, something that you could do is you're going to have to look at giving the group of five teams their own championship bracket and just make this college football playoff about Power Four teams. I mean, that's just a thought. And I'm with Drew. I don't think you need both James Madison and Tulane in the college football playoff, and a team like Notre Dame's left out. A team like Vanderbilt's left out. A team like Texas is left out. I mean, that just doesn't seem like it represents the 12 best teams. And again, I've said it's not the 12 best teams. The minute, you know, this is no offense to the G5s, but the minute you say you're going to include a G5 team in the college football playoff, it becomes more about inclusion than it does about getting the 12 best teams. Now, is a G5 team capable of winning a game? Yeah, I suppose they are. Is a G5 team capable of winning the national championship? Absolutely not. No way is Tulane or James Madison going to run through the college football playoff and win the national championship. Not going to happen. So you got two teams, and you know what? There may be some other teams that aren't capable of winning it. I mean, obviously only one team's going to win it, but you've got two teams in the playoff out of 12 that you know have no chance to win the national championship. No chance. Now, I don't blame them for being in. I mean, I don't blame them for, you know, excited about the opportunity. And yes, those are good football teams. And for their young men, it's quite an accomplishment. Those are the rules. You know what? That's the system. So I'm not mad at Tulane or James Madison. Let me be clear on that at all. In fact, I'm happy for them. But reality says they don't have a chance to win a national championship. So, you know, and so you could ask me, does Alabama have a chance? Technically, yes. They're in. You know, I mean, technically everybody's got a chance. You're one of 12 teams that have an opportunity to win it. Watching Alabama play right now, do I think they're going to win the national championship? No, I don't. Do I think they're going to beat Oklahoma? Don't know yet. I made up my mind. I mean, we've seen Alabama football do special things over the years. That's part of the aura, the tradition, the history of this program, that the pride of Alabama football. And but I don't think they're good enough. And speaking of the pride and the aura of Alabama football, my friend Tommy Wilcox, former two-time first-team All-American safety, SEC Freshman of the Year, All-Century Team for 1892 through 1992, wrote a song about Alabama football, Roll Baby Roll, and a friend of his arranged it and produced it and got it recorded. I'm going to play that for you in the next segment. I think you're going to absolutely love it. We're going to have Tommy on soon to talk about it, and he is hoping to find an established country artist to also record it. But I think you're going to enjoy listening to this song and what it represents about his time with Coach Bryant and, you know, what it meant to put on that crimson jersey. And I think maybe it you know, you'll get excited, and it really encompasses the spirit of Alabama football. We're going to play that for you in the next segment. Right now, before we go to the break, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. If you are a man and you are struggling with your energy, you know, you're fatigued, you feel the stress, you're not sleeping well, you've got libido issues, gained weight, these aren't just annoyances, and you can't just say, hey, I'm getting older. This can be, there are these symptoms can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. They're located at 1013th Street East, conveniently in Tuscaloosa, right off McFarland Boulevard. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides and vitamin therapy, You'll go in. They'll put you on a signature three-step plan, complete intake and simple blood work. You'll get the results in 15 minutes. You'll meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and you'll begin your customized treatment plan. The consultations are free. It's something that if you are struggling with all the things that we've talked about, think about getting by to see them. What you can expect from Game Day tailored men's health plans are boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. Man, guys, give it a try. Get back in the game at Game Day Men's Health. We'll be back after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from Tuscaloosa Thread. Mobile has joined Tuscaloosa and Mountain Brook suit against the state over the way online sales taxes are distributed. Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox is leading that battle.
I think the biggest thing we can do is make certain that sales taxes that are earned in Tuscaloosa stay in Tuscaloosa.
The County Commissions Association and some legislators disapprove of the suit. Interstate 22 through Walker County attracting more.
I Fincher and Osmond. Fincher and Osmond carries artisan-created diamonds. And trust us, they are bigger than you expect. Visit www.FincherandOsmond.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special, Monday through Friday.
Track 2 is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with the low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days. The high Thursday, 53. The high Friday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 1021, welcome back in to the Gary Harris Show. And you're listening to a new song that was written by Alabama two-time first-team All-American defensive back Tommy Wilcox and arranged and produced by his friend Steve Sufadi. And it is called Roll Baby Roll. And I'm going to play it for you right now in its entirety. I mean, this is a song that if you're an Alabama football fan, I think it's going to get your juices going. And this is the version that they put together, but I do think that Tommy's working to try maybe to get a mainstream country music artist to record this, but written by Tommy Wilcox from his heart, representing, you know, his time under Coach Bryant and what he thinks Alabama football is about. I know a lot of his former teammates have listened to it and they love it. Obviously he sent it to me and I love it. And I think you're going to love it as well. Here's Roll Baby Roll. Baby, roll.
I got a little story, so turn up the sound. Starting down south where the skies are blue. In my sweet home of
makes us strong. Next time we try harder, we won't stay down for long. We were taught to believe in ourselves. We win or lose with class. But the next time we face our foe, we plan to kick their ass.
Roll, baby, roll.
Roll, baby, roll. Crimson in our veins, the bear in our soul, hell yeah. Champions from birth, winning's the goal. From the rose to the orange to the sugar bowl, we are the Tide from Alabama. Roll Tide, roll.
I tell you, I think if you follow Alabama football, that gives me chills. I'm telling you right now, knowing that it was written by Tommy Wilcox, arranged and produced by his friend, put together in the studio, and I think it's a heck of a song. I wanted to play it for you, "Roll Baby Roll," but "Roll Baby Roll." We're gonna get Tommy on soon to discuss it. You know, he wrote it and I think had it, you know, written for years, and then his friend Steve decided to try to put some music to it, and you know, the end result is what you got right there. Now we're gonna have Larry the Music Man on tomorrow, and you know, might get Larry to look at where, you know, Tommy wants to get somebody to record this song that's got some you know, some experience on the road and maybe an established star. So anyway, but boy, I tell you what, that gets you going right there. So we'll talk more with Larry about it tomorrow, and good tune. All right, we're going to get to the break. Before we do, I'm going to tell you about the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. It's ready for you when you're ready for the Y. It's just that simple. The facility's there. The staff is there. The equipment's there. Everything you need to get in better physical condition is there. The only thing that's missing is you. So get by and see him at 2313th Street. And I'm speaking to myself, too. I got to get back in the Y as well. The YMCA Tuscaloosa. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. We're going to be back with Shelton State women's basketball coach Madonna Thompson next.
43-8070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070. Located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live Well Primary Care. It's time.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show. Only on Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be a good cheer.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And it is the most wonderful time of the year. I love the holiday season, but it's also a great time for sports fans and including basketball fans. The Hall of Famer Madonna Thompson joins us to talk about the Shelton State Lady Bucks, 8-2 on the season. Of course, last year, the national runner-up, and got another great team, and they've got a huge weekend ahead with the Shelton State Classic. We're going to get into that and more with Coach Thompson. Hey, Madonna, how are you?
I'm doing great, Gary. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to have you. 8-2 start, finished second in the nation last year. And I know you felt like you had a team and have a team that's capable of winning it all. But, boy, I tell you, sports, you know, we know about injuries. I mean, that's when you, you know, put the stress on your body that these athletes put on their bodies, there's always a chance. And Shiloh Marks and Janiyah Bone, ACL injuries, which certainly is unfortunate.
Oh, yes. I mean, so upsetting. Such great kids, such great hard workers. You know, Janiyah Bone was a returning starter, And Shyla Marks coming in as one of the top five players coming out of the state of Alabama last year for girls basketball. So, you know, it really changed a lot with us. Obviously, our rotation, the experience, and just the shooting ability. So it's something we've had to overcome. But, you know, that's part of sports. That's part of athletics. And you just have to, you know, next one up is what we say, and somebody just got to take over that role, and some people are having to play a little bit longer. But yeah, I mean, a huge loss to us. So I just feel so bad for those kids, especially because, you know, Janiyah was a sophomore and was getting highly recruited, and of course, you know, some of that has changed due to the injury. So I really hate it for her.
This weekend is a really special event. The Shelton State Classic, all six teams that are entered played in the 2024 National Championships. Four of the teams are ranked in the top 12 this week. We've got a full schedule of games Saturday and Sunday tipping off, I should use a basketball term, 1 p.m. Saturday with Kilgore versus Chipola, 3 o'clock South Georgia Tech versus Three Rivers, 5 o'clock you take on Walters. Then on Sunday, Three Rivers and Kilgore play at noon. Chipola takes on Walters at 2, and then Shelton plays South Georgia Tech at 4. Fill us in on how this came about and how, you know, just because you want to put on a tournament, to get all these teams to agree to come to Tuscaloosa. I mean, this is kind of a who's who of women's junior college basketball. How did you put this together?
Well, it's something that we've wanted to do. We've been running this classic for years with a couple of games every year, right as soon as the kids finish their finals. And it's something we wanted to grow. And my assistant coach, Colin Hardy, has really been the one who has put this together. We've talked about it, but he's really been the one who's put, you know, done the action and got it done, made the phone calls. We've talked about the teams. We've got some good relationships with those teams coming in. And obviously, you know, I've been there for 28 years, and we've been in the national tournament. We kind of see the teams are there year after year and these coaches. And it was something we wanted to do, and we got the Tuscaloosa Sports Foundation involved, and we got the Ready Program involved, and they're helping us do this. And this is the first year it's really been a powerhouse tournament. I mean, I've been on the phone. People have been texting me, college coaches, this morning about coming in to watch the games this weekend. In fact, Manisha Reedus, remember her playing at Bama? She's coming in now. She's going to be here this weekend. She's coaching at Florida Atlantic University. So she texted me this morning. She's coming in. So it's something we want to do, and we want to grow it even more in the upcoming years and get even more teams in, more games, a good spot for some of these college coaches to come in and just sit in one gym and recruit all day long and see the top players and the top teams. So, I mean, like I said, we're going to try to just keep growing it and look around and try to get those top programs around the nation in so people can come in and just watch some great junior college basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a weekend in December with this type of talent on board. It's a rare opportunity for fans to see some of the best teams in the country all in one venue. And that's what's great about Shelton State and Tuscaloosa is we're so well equipped to handle events like this, obviously with the University of Alabama and, you know, so many games brought in. It's really kind of a good setup. And I think these teams are going to get a great experience here, don't you?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, a lot of people, if you start looking at junior college basketball, you know, community colleges, they are in a lot of smaller towns and smaller communities. So a lot of these schools have a hard time putting on a big event just because they don't have the hotels, the restaurants in their community. So we're very blessed here. We've got the restaurants, we've got the hotels to put on something this big. And, you know, I mean, it's Tuscaloosa. This is, you know, ball town. I mean, everybody, title town. I mean, this is where people think of sports and athletics. So it is a little easier to put something like this together. And like I said, the Tuscaloosa Sports Foundation and the Ready Program got behind it. And we're very, very thankful to those for helping us put this together financially.
What about from the standpoint of winning this event? I mean, I know that's your goal. And what would it mean for Shelton or whichever team wins it? This would be a feather in somebody's cap.
Yeah, it's more set up like a classic. They're predetermined who you're going to play. So, you know, it's kind of measuring up and judging up to the next one to kind of see who, you know, maybe who performs the best, who has the better athletes. I mean, it is junior college, so colleges are coming to look for players. So it is an opportunity to get, you know, these kids in front of people watching them live in a gym because, you know, outside of the national tournament and then some of the large JUCO jamborees, there aren't a lot of times where you get to see a lot of them in one place at the same time and outside our regional tournament. So, like I said, it's just something we want to try to do to really promote junior college basketball and really just try to get some of these top teams that are in it every year, the colleges that are sending players onto the four-year schools year after year.
Your team, with the two injuries and changing the rotation, you had such high expectations. How much does that impact your team? And do you have a team now with the two injuries that you feel like can win a national championship? Because I know that's the goal every year.
Oh, yeah, of course it's the goal. It'll remain the goal. You know, injuries, you know, sicknesses, whatever is going to happen. I mean, it's always the goal. And you have to just keep moving forward. I mean, you can't just sit around and make excuses. And, you know, of course we thought, oh, what if we had, you know, at times like that. But, I mean, they're not coming back this year. So it's not something you can dwell upon. You just got to move on. The kids have got to take, you know, larger roles. Like I said, maybe put in a few more minutes with a few of the kids that are left in their positions, that 2-3 guard slot. But yeah, I mean, we've had people step up. I mean, they're doing great. I mean, I can't complain. We've just probably got to gel a little bit. You know, junior college is hard to get together until really after Christmas. You don't look that good. I mean, we've won a lot of games, you know, but last night, if you'd seen us play, you wouldn't think we were very good. Although we won by 30, it was just kind of an ugly win. One of those where it just didn't look very skilled either way. So it just takes us time to put it together. You know, we've got 4 freshmen in our starting lineup right now. So it especially is taking a little longer to just gel and look collegiate the whole game for 40 minutes. So it's something we're working on. But I'm pleased with them. I mean, I'm very happy with them. They work hard. I don't have any problems with the kids at all.
All right, Madonna, one more time, kind of give us the rundown and how people can get their tickets and come out and support this great Shelton State Classic this weekend.
Just show up at the door and you can purchase your tickets and there'll be games in there. I think you gave out the times of the games on Saturday and Sunday. And for all of our Booster Club members and former players and managers, we are having our annual Christmas party after the game on Sunday. So that game will start at 4 p.m. As soon as it is over, we'll all go up to the atrium and have our annual Christmas party.
Thanks, Madonna. We'll have somebody down there for the TV station this weekend. Looking forward to the game, and good luck, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, Gary. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Head coach Madonna Thompson, Shelton State Lady Buck, and it's 10:42, and we're going to have phone calls in the next segment. Larry from The Music Man is ready to go. George from Macon is on the phone lines. The Cowboy texted me and said that he was on hold and didn't get through. I don't know what happened, Cowboy, but you're welcome to call back in as well. We'll take phone calls in this final segment of the Gary Harris Show. We'll be right back after this.
Tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Go-karts, kids' four-wheelers, dirt bikes, and side-by-sides for Christmas. With financing available, Redline Power Sports, Highway 43 at Tierce Patton Road in Northport.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
And digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.folden at townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with a low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days. The high Thursday, 53. The high Friday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly.
All right, 10:47. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And just so we're clear on something, I don't know. We don't screen callers here. If you call in, we put you on. Cowboy, if you got on, put on hold, you know, we missed you. I didn't know anything about it. You want to call back in, you're welcome to call back in. We got phone calls lined up right now. Let's start it off with Larry the Music Man. Hey, Larry.
Gary, good morning. Thank you for
good morning.
The holiday tradition. The old school Christmas carols, brother. That's all I listen to this time of the year. It might be Elvis. It might be whatever. All the old stuff. I'm glad you're spinning them and keeping that tradition alive. I'm making my broccoli cheese soup today. We hadn't seen the sun here in 4 days. It's been cold. Rainy, like y'all. But I would really, that song, I think Carrie Lane should let her have a chance at that. I think that would be great. She has got the pipes for that song and that twang too. That's just my opinion. Will Mosley, my old bass player, is playing Will Mosley on the road, but the only problem, he's a Georgia boy. He lives right up the road from here in McRae, Georgia. But he was a runner-up for 2025 American Idol. But it's going to be hard to get. I don't know if he could put him on a song like that, being he's a Georgia fan.
But. Yeah, he may not want to sing a Bama song. But
I know.
Yeah, we're looking. I know Tommy's looking at some stuff, but you're right. Carrie's got a great voice. She might be someone that.
And local Alabama girl, it wouldn't hurt to give it a shot. I could set it up, man. I mean, I could hear her doing it if he don't mind a female. I mean.
No, I don't think he would at all. We could.
It works.
Yeah, well, let me talk to him because I don't know where he stands with. I know he was reaching out because of his days, but when he used to do, you know, he still does his outdoor show. But at one time, he had tons of country artists. You know, he's friends with Hank Jr. He's had a who's who of country singers on that show back during the day. You know, Luke Bryan and Montgomery Gentry before, you know. Passed away you're right, she's got the pipes to do it, so that's I'll look into.
I didn't impose my will on anything. I just think she would really.
No, I agree, man. He wants somebody, you know, to record it. I mean, you know, that's obviously a studio, you know, dubbed in version, you know, his friend Larry that arranged and produced it's got a ton of music experience too, and I know they're wanting an artist to record it, so I'll definitely
look into that, Larry, for sure. Hey, man, I'll talk to you in the morning. We got a ton of callers waiting, but we're going to talk about Otis Redding tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir. Look forward to it.
Looking forward to that. Thank you, Larry. Let's get to George from Macon. Hey, George.
Hey, Gary. Hope all is well with you.
A couple of comments.
First, I want to say, I went to the game Saturday, but before the game, I went to the tailgate for the National Alabama Alumni Association and met Chris Stewart. Very gracious, very nice guy, very nice guy. And I also met the president of the university. He was very nice, and also Greg Byrne. And, you know, those guys were being tugged on all directions, but everybody they met, they were very nice, and I was very impressed with it.
Good.
As far as the game, I don't know if you ever watched Reedy React. It's on the SEC Channel. It's got Cole Kublik and also Roman Harper.
I've watched it on occasion. I'm not a regular viewer, but I know they break stuff down. What did they have to say?
Well, basically, we had a hard time picking up their stunts. I mean, they weren't really exotic stunts. We just had a hard time blocking them. And a lot of their stunts, the linebacker or the safety broke free and obviously did not give us any time at all to throw the ball. And I'm just hoping that this up and down playing a decent game a couple of weeks, going in a bad game and a good game and a bad game, I'm hoping we can get some consistency now, and I don't know why we can't. You know, obviously injuries is a problem, but, you know, football is a tough game, and you're always going to have injuries. So I'm just hoping that we can get it together. And, you know, I don't want to hear this, we got to get rid of the quarterback, we got to get rid of the coach or whatever. All that is just clutter. I'm just hoping we can play well and play a good game, and do what we need to do so we don't have to hear all that stuff. And I think that we are deserving of being in the tournament, you know, but obviously the last thing you see is not good. But hopefully we can get it together. And I don't know why we had a hard time picking up the stunts. That is something that I don't quite understand. You know, I mean, I know they practice them. I know that there's nothing new or secretive. So I'm just trying to figure out why we're so inconsistent.
Well, I'll tell you this, George, they better figure it out, because they're gonna face another defense that's gonna get after the quarterback Norman, Oklahoma. So they better get that plugged in. They better play better up front. They're gonna have to play better. And I don't think Oklahoma's quite as good as Georgia, but still they're gonna have to play better. Hey, great to hear from you, George. I'm gonna get a few more calls in before we close it out. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, see ya.
Good stuff. Yes, sir. All right, let's get the Cowboy, who has been blowing up my phone saying I'm trying to avoid him. I don't avoid anybody, Cowboy. I don't know what happened, but you're on now, so what you got?
Hey, Jerry, I held on for 30 minutes, and Chase is saying...
Well, like I said, that's when you and Chase. I don't know what happened. I never knew you were on the phone, so...
Yeah.
But you're on now, so what's going on?
I was going to say this. I believe Jalen Hurts got caught up in that monsters from the ESPN2 telecast yesterday, and they kind of scared him or something last night.
Something happened to him. Played awful. Had a horrible game.
Yeah,
worst game of his career.
I've never seen two.
And the Eagles still almost won the game. I don't know. That's remarkable that after all that had happened, you know, they're down there.
Yeah.
You know, first and 10 inside the 20-yard line, need a field goal just to tie the game and a touchdown to win it. And the throw that the last interception, I didn't think was a terrible throw. I mean, that guy, they made a nice play. He was trying to squeeze it in there, but he played awful, and they're playing bad. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it, but you know, like I said earlier, that's the NFL for you, man. Chiefs may not make the playoffs. Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. They're reeling. Colts started out hot. They're reeling. Ravens are reeling. I mean, it's easy to go from the penthouse to the outhouse in that league, pal.
Yeah, you know, the Seattle Seahawks are 10-3 right now, and they're doing a lot better offensively without Ryan Grubb.
Absolutely, they are. There's no way around it. They're running the football. They're a physical offensive team. They're good on defense. No, I'm with you. And I think,
their coach said that Grubb couldn't run the football. He needed somebody who could teach how to run the football. Looks like we got a parallel going on now, don't we?
maybe so.
All right, Gary. Well, I just wanted to let you know I held on 30 minutes.
Well, I apologize. Like I said, I don't know what happened. Wow. I'm sorry. I don't. If I had known you'd been on, because I was talking, I did a whole segment where I did nothing but talk myself. If I promised you, if I'd have known you were there, I would have got you on. Like I said, I'm not in studio today, and maybe there was a little lapse in communication with Chase and I. Well, we're sorry about that, and glad you're able to call back in.
All right, buddy, you take care.
All right, thank you, cowboy. All right, let's get Bryce on to close out the show. Hey, Bryce.
Huh? That's an interesting phone call, but I'll leave it at that and let you read through the tea leaves, okay, on that one. But
okay.
Anyway, Tommy Wilcox. I just, like I said, that song is awesome. I wish they'd have played it before the game and during halftime. That song says a lot about what's going on. And
I think he wrote it from the heart. Boy, you can hear it, man. That's got some emotion in it.
My dad really loved Tommy Wilcox. You know, we'd be watching the Bear Bryant replay show. He'd say, "Bing," when Tommy would hit somebody, boy. He's loved throughout the state of Alabama and just a down-to-earth guy. We need more players like Tommy Wilcox on that team. You know,
yeah, when Tommy hit them, they knew they'd been hit, Bryce, that's for sure.
It's just a different time, you know. Now
it is.
Fortunately, they don't look at it like he looked at it and them guys that wore that jersey. You got to have pride and
want to
do it. You know, Saban wanted to see.
Well, maybe they'll get some things fixed and adjusted and go out there to Norman a week from Friday night. And you know, you win that game, man. Everybody's gonna feel a lot better. You know what I mean?
Hey, remember this name? It's that lady don't want to sing that song. Austin Bohannon from Russellville, Alabama, a local artist, got the voice to do that. And
I tell you what, shoot me a text on that after the show so I'll remember it, because I got a lot of things
you listen
in my head right now. But just shoot me a text.
I will, buddy. He sounds a lot.
All right. Thank you. Austin Thank Bohannon. You, Bryce. All right. That's a good timing, too. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. Reminder, lunch is right around the corner, and Rock and Roll Sushi is downtown Tuscaloosa, right there on University Boulevard. It has some great lunch specials. Of course, they got the best sushi in town, but they got some lunch specials with those little hibachi grill bowls, and I think you'll really enjoy it if you're going to get by and have some lunch and hang out there in a great atmosphere. Rock and Roll Sushi, they got all that rock and roll memorabilia, playing great music while you're in there as well. Give them a try there on University Boulevard. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today's program. We got the Miller's Edge coming up next. A reminder to catch me on TV tonight with your local news, and also with Rodney Orr for Tider Insider TV tonight at 6:30. That ought to be an interesting show on WBUA 23. I'll be back tomorrow with the Wednesday edition. Of course, Larry the Music Man will be with us, other guests as well. And have a great day, everybody. The sun is trying to peek its head out, so maybe we're finally going to get some sunshine for the first time in about a week. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.